Hi, my name is David Kirchen, and welcome to the podcast, Winning Sales Conversations. Each week, we'll be exploring different elements that go into high-value sales conversations. And the content will come from accomplished sales professionals and leaders, as well as from some of the books that I read about behavioral psychology that was used in creating the principles and techniques that we teach at Master Messaging. These books and authors are some of the most highly regarded experts in behavioral psychology, specifically around how human beings make decisions. This week, I have the pleasure of speaking with David Baker at Freshworks. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. I like your name.
I appreciate that. Hey, I always want to get a sense of the different guests on the show and how they got into the sales profession. So would you mind sharing with the audience your journey and how you got into sales?
Yeah, would love to. I mean, the short answer would be you, but I'll expand on that a little bit. I got started in sales maybe a little bit later than some. I was in my mid 30s when I got my start in sales. Earlier on, I did nonprofit missions work, and so I had done a lot of public speaking. After doing that for about 13 years, I moved out of Mexico and moved here to Atlanta in 2015. I didn't really have a career plan, just knew that I wanted to do something differently. And I had done a lot of public speaking. I used to speak at different conferences and public events like that. And when I was here looking for a job, some people that had seen me speak before, including you, thought that I had some skills that could potentially translate into sales, and made an introduction into a company based here in Alpharetta named Frontline Selling. Frontline Selling was an outsourced business development company, and it's really it's a really tough job. But if you can tough it out, it was the best thing for my career, because in my time there, just over a year, what I did is I would be an outsourced prospector, BDR, SDR, whatever terminology you want to use, and I would call on behalf of other companies. So in 1 year there, I worked for over 10 different companies, right? I would call on behalf of company X and then company Y and then company Z, and I had to learn their value proposition and all these other things. And I was just really hungry to be successful. I started going in, I would get in sometimes at 4:30 in the morning and watch anything I could on YouTube about things like that. I would get my prospecting list ready, and ended up being very successful there. I think that one of the keys to my success in making President's Club in first year, because when I started in training, I remember they were drawing out on a whiteboard some acronyms for basically how you prospect top down. And I knew what CEO meant, and then it went down to like CFO, and I had no idea what a CFO was, or a COO, or a CIO. And I remember totally wrapped around there, like, who are these people? What do these words mean? So I really didn't know anything about business, but I've always been a pretty good communicator. And I stayed on every call that I ever booked. I would recommend that highly, highly to every SDR. I think that organizations do a massive disservice when they don't have their SDRs sit on calls with the sales professional that's executing it. And for context, when I left there, I was averaging 22. They would call them MIs, standing for meaningful interactions, a month, which was a qualified 30-minute sales call. I stayed on every single sales call I ever booked there across 10 companies for a year. And that just helped me learn a lot about those first conversations and really catapult my career.
So you mentioned the SDR role, obviously a very challenging role, especially in today's world. You've got so much noise in the marketplace that SDRs have to try and cut through in order to have an initial conversation with a prospect, obviously to tee that up in hopes of taking them through the sales process. What are some of the things that you could share with a new SDR or even a sales professional that's having to set their own appointments? What are some of the things that you learned in that role that helped you succeed?
I mean, I think that the most important one is not getting wrapped around failure. When you look at the numbers, whatever they are, they're going to vary widely per industry, right? Are you targeting, large companies at C level, smaller companies at manager level, whatever it is. So there's going to be different, but however you break up the math, you're going to get a lot more rejections and you're going to be told no a lot more. So you have to find a way to separate yourself from getting too wrapped up around the failure, because you're going to have times where you fail 50, 100 times a day, where people say nasty things to you sometimes. One practice that I've maintained over all my years in sales is I get up early in the morning because it's the only time that can't be robbed for me. And I do something for myself, whether it's going to work out or going to take yoga or reading. But I think it's very important to start the day with some sort of practice that is not related to your sales and give yourself at least 2 hours, preferably more, before you start your job, before you start getting slapped in the face, and end your day the same way. Like, don't end working, end separating, because you have to find a way to separate, because that's what happens. There's a lot of very talented people that have everything that it takes to be successful, but they just get broken down from the continual rejection. So you have to find a way to kind of separate the essence of your being from the constant rejection that you're getting, right? Some people are like, oh, you have to have thick skin. But if you try to produce too thick a skin, you can kind of just maybe become a jerk. So I don't think it's necessarily about thick skin. It's about separating and understanding, hey, this is a job. This is what I do. If someone's nasty to me, or if someone, acts in a way that's not great, they're probably having a tough day. Give them a pass. Be glad that you were their punching bag, and maybe they were able to take some frustration out on you and not on their significant other. But I think it's very, very important just to find a practice to separate yourself from the results. I think it's very important not to get too high on the highs, and definitely not to get too low on the lows. It's a job. Go in and operate it mechanically.
Yeah. So much of what you're speaking to is about a mindset, having the right mindset. And it reminds me of a conversation I had with a SDR at a networking event. And in the conversation, I asked the question, what company do you work for? What do they do? And it turned out to be a data warehouse. And he explained that he had an SDR role. And I just asked him straight up. I said, hey, do you enjoy your job? And he looked at me and he kind of smiled and he goes, it's hard. It's really hard just to interrupt people's day and, with a phone call or sending out a bunch of cold emails. And I said, I get that. I said, let me ask you this question. For the prospects that you're reaching out to, how are they going to be better off if they end up working with the product or service that you represent? How are they going to be better off? And he goes, that's an interesting question. He goes, I think really it's going to be peace of mind. I said, really? They're going to have more peace of mind? Why? And he said, well, the redundancy that we have in our warehouse and the protection of their data, it's just something that they don't ever have to worry about. I said, okay, well, how else would they be better off? And he goes, well, they'd have more time in their day. And I said, why? And he goes, well, because this is an area of their work that the IT department's not going to have to focus on, and so they'll have more time. And I said, so let me get this straight. You're having a hard time picking up the phone and calling prospects and introducing peace of mind and more time freedom in a world where those two are very scarce. And he goes, I wasn't thinking about it that way. And I said, well, that's part of having a winning mindset in the role that you're in, thinking in terms of how the person that you're calling is actually going to be better off because of this conversation that you're having with them, not from the perspective of I'm interrupting their day and I'm going to be a nuisance and aggravation to them. And so he walked away from that. He said, I really appreciate that. It's a completely different perspective that I really wasn't bringing to the role. And so when you combine that with some of the things that you just shared with our listeners, it really is about the mindset that you bring, and you can't take it personally when people hang up on you or or yell at you or do whatever it is that they do as a result of your call. You just have to continue to work the process so that the individuals that you're reaching out to really can be better off with whatever product or service it is that you work with.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I've encountered that same thing. And I think that probably many of the listeners, if you ask an SDR, they would get a similar question. And it's because, you know, SDRs aren't necessarily taught sometimes how to think. They're taught what to say. And that's really on SDR leadership, just being focused on metrics sometimes, and they're focused on the wrong metrics a lot of the time. Because also, if someone gives you the time of day to say what you're going to say, and it's not a fit, there isn't any reason to be offended. But the truth is, you should be selling something that is helping people in some way in their daily lives, right? just like you said it. And so when you understand that, that's what you're really trying to find out. You're not trying to set an appointment. You're trying to see, like, hey, do you have a problem? Is there an itch here? Is there a little bit of pain? Are you worried about this? Is this a challenge? That's what you're trying to find. You're not trying to set an appointment. And so it's a different mindset. When you do that, it makes it easier to go do what you do, because you're trying to find someone that has a problem or might not even realize they have a problem. But it's those shifts in perception that I think are so important. Not, hey, call someone and say this.
Yeah. No, that's so good. That's so good. So you've been in the sales profession for a number of years now. What is it that you enjoy the most about sales?
I really am very grateful for the freedom that it's provided me in my life, from a financial perspective and a career perspective. Where I was at my life, at my age, I mean, yeah, I could have been a doctor. I would have had to go to college for 8 years or something else. But it's the ability that it can truly change your life. You can truly build a career. I'm grateful for it. And I think that the cornerstone of sales is really communication, which is something that I'm passionate about. When you look at a lot of the things going on in the world and a lot of the challenges and the fights and all these things that we see, so many times it's because people are not good communicators. It's lack of perception. It's, you know, misperception, not lack of perception, and people not able to communicate in an effective manner, in a timely manner, people not willing to accept differences. And I think that those things are really what I look at sales. It's communication, right? Like, I have some type of solution that I'm representing, and how can I communicate to you and try to figure out if this is an issue you have, how can we solve for it? And I love that. I love to talk to people. I love to get to know people and understand their nuances and try to think through things. Because a lot of times too, depending on what you're selling, there's an educational aspect, right? Like, your buyer doesn't necessarily know the products or the solutions that you're selling, and they can be very complex IT things. So you need to find a way to be able to properly communicate. And that's one thing that I really like about the sales perception. It's getting in there. It's trying to understand, a lot of times in these micro interactions, getting to know someone, their world, their problems, what they're trying to work on, and then effectively communicate back a potential solution. And I love that. It's kind of thrilling, right? You meet someone at a trade show, you've got like 5 minutes, you're talking and you're trying to kind of diagnose if there's an issue there. And then how do you communicate it back? That's just fun to me. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I know you've had an opportunity to mentor some other sales professionals. Speaking to the whole topic of communication, what are some of the mistakes or some of the challenges that you see sales professionals bring to the area of communication? What are they doing wrong? And what advice or help would you introduce to them to help them do better from a communication standpoint?
I think that a lot of it is people, sales, especially if they're younger in their career, they're really nervous about saying, I don't know. It's a great thing if you don't know to say you don't know, And then secondly, they can be so nervous that they're not able to listen. You have to listen, right? It's like how many times when you watch back, whether it be in Gong or somewhere, and you watch back a recording of someone, you see a potential customer saying one thing and another person either completely not hearing it or completely misunderstanding, and they move too quick. Now, it's easier when you're a third-party watcher, but if you have any type of recording software like that and you watch it, I can pretty much guarantee any video you watch, you're going to be sitting there as a third party like, oh, they should have doubled down on here, or they should have went back, or I don't think they understood that, or they should have clarified it. So it's not really trying to figure out how long you get in a conversation, but better to get deep in a conversation. I don't need to cover through all of whatever you're told to do, right? But a Sandler pain funnel or Bant or that, like, I don't need to start here and end here. We need to start and we need to go as thorough and as deep. And it doesn't matter how far we get, because we don't want to miss anything along the way.
Okay. You know, the technology that sales professionals have at their fingertips today, you mentioned Gong, there's a number of recording platforms out there where you have the opportunity to record the sales calls that you're conducting. Do you get a sense that sales professionals are really going back and spending a good bit of time listening to what they've said so that they can get better? Or is it just, hey, the chaos of the day and let's just keep charging forward?
No, I don't think that many reps go back and watch many of those. I think that the return on investment for a lot of those tools, many companies don't get them. While there's definitely a value to them, I think that it's much more important for managers to be live with reps in these situations and not do what they do a lot of the time, which is if a manager's on a call, they might talk 80% of the time. But get on it and let your rep kind of do it. There's some reps that watch, but, and I don't have any definitive data. I just don't think that they watch very much on that. I think that it tends to be management more that watches, mm-hmm. and reps kind of know that, which is why there's a little resistance to it in some areas still, because it feels a little bit kind of like Big Brother, right? They have keyword searches where, you know, if you mess up and you say this too much or you don't say this, it's going to key someone, and you know, like, oh shoot, if I mess up, someone's going to see this, right? There's nothing like a little bit of extra psychological stress knowing that if you mess up, everybody's going to have access to it and there's a save search for that mess up. I'm not sure from a psychological standpoint what many therapists or mental health professionals would think about a subject like that. I'd venture to say that they would probably think that it's psychologically damaging in some ways.
Yeah. So knowing you, and you've been in a number of sales roles, you know, over the years, this is more for the sales leaders that may be listening to this podcast. What is it that you look for or appreciate about sales leadership as far as helping you in your role? What are the things that they're doing? What are they doing that's enabling you to be more successful?
Yeah, I think that good sales leaders, they don't react right away. One thing I look for is how are you going to kind of coach and support the different people on your team? Right. And it can be like if you have multiple children, your children are going to need help in different areas. You're going to communicate to them different because they're all different people, even though they're all your children. And not necessarily like that, but a good sales leader is going to understand what reps need and how to help them. And that'll be very different. Some reps need a lot of help on actual calls, and they need their leader to actually get on and help them with calls. And other reps might need them to navigate the internal politics at a company, or, you know, how to navigate some some internal things like that. And I think that it's really about understanding where can I help this person the most? Because every person's going to be different, right? If you kind of come into it with a standard template of, hey, this is how I lead my sales team. When I led an SDR team, it was very much like that. I tried to understand each of my reps individually and what they needed and how I could better help them. And I think that that's just key, is like taking a little bit of time to actually get to know your team as humans, as people. And then that's going to really unlock areas that you can help them in. Like, where is it? Some people struggle a lot with their calendars and accountability. And that might be your role as a manager. Like, hey, look, I know, David, you want to be successful. I know you have this hunger to do it. And I know that you have a challenge from your schedule. And I've seen this because of this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to like work with you and we're going to start working on command of the calendar or whatever it is in your presentations, you're struggling, but it's really identifying the areas that they need help in, because all of us have different strengths and weaknesses and areas that need more improvement than others. And just don't throw a template and say, hey, this is what I do. Really try to find how you can help that person.
Yeah, no, I like that. Again, especially looking at the different sales team members as individuals, not as, hey, these are all cookie cutter sales reps and I'm going to treat them all the same way. And again, just provide the same kind of coaching and training, whether they need it or not. So I really, really like that approach of looking at them as individuals. All right, so let's close with the same question that I ask every guest. Obviously, your role at Freshworks, you're having to communicate with prospects and customers about the value that you're bringing to them and the problems that you're going to solve. How is it that your customers are better off as a result of working with Freshworks?
We have a lot of software. I'm going to focus on the probably a larger piece, the ITSM portion. Where there's huge competitors in that space, like ServiceNow and BMC. And I would ask, if I'm talking to a CIO, if they would be interested in saving 30% on their ITSM cost and increasing functionality. Because one of the challenges with these things is ServiceNow has created an ecosystem similar to Salesforce. Salesforce is a great CRM. Everyone knows it. It's a recognizable name. If you have a large deployment, you're also going to have 50 Salesforce architects within your organization. And even then, it gets extremely complicated when you start to add in other things. The majority of customers for our competitors, they buy a lot of software that's very expensive. And I have spoken to many, many organizations with large deployments, and they've in 3 years only been able to get maybe 80% of what they paid for actively working because it's so complex. And so it's not only reducing costs, but it's increasing functionality. And depending on which one of our competitors someone's using, there's different ways I would maybe position that, but that would be how I would position against one of our main competitors, ServiceNow. And it tends to work. You usually get a chance to talk to someone and we replace them a lot. So.
Well, I love it. You're even bringing back again, your experience in the SDR world in the answer to that question and being very clear and concise as to what you would hold out to a prospect in a quick conversation to really identify, is there an itch there? Is there a pain there? And then be able to succinctly communicate how you would solve that pain. Well, David, hey, I so appreciate you being on the show today. And again, we're just kicking off a brand new year. So crazy success to you in 2024. And again, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me and happy new year, everyone.